is called He is Risen. Amen. Love it. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 20. He has risen indeed. Amen. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And last Friday, this past Friday, was Good Friday, when Jesus went to the cross to die for his people. And now it is Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. Resurrection Sunday is a very special day for us Christians because this is our victory in Jesus Christ. Once a year on Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But for Christians, every day is a celebration of the risen, living Christ. Every Sunday is a celebration of the risen, living Christ. For Christians, Easter is all about Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's not about the Easter bunny. Sorry to break the news to you, chocolate egg lovers. But this day is so much more important. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the crowning event in God's redemptive history. The resurrection is the cornerstone of Christianity. The resurrection is the heart of the gospel. No event in history reaches the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember this, that without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no gospel. And without the gospel, there is no salvation. That's how important this day is, that Christ has risen. The passage that I want to share with you this morning took place on the morning of Jesus' resurrection. This passage parallels what Mark and Luke and John wrote in their Gospels as well. Very similar writings. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to take a look at this amazing passage this morning. We're going to take a look at verses 1 and 2 from our passage. Verse 1 says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." Now, we know that God didn't send down one of his angels to remove the stone so Jesus could walk out. Jesus went through. What he did, he sent an angel down to remove the stone and let the women come into the tomb to see that Jesus wasn't there anymore. We know that this took place early in the morning. It says, at dawn. John recorded in his gospel that it was still dark out. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary mentioned is the mother of Jesus. Mark recorded also that Salome was also there at the tomb with Mary Magdalene and the mother of Jesus. The three of them were at the tomb. These very faithful, devoted, committed women were followers of Jesus Christ. They believed that Jesus definitely was the Son of God, God in the flesh, which he is. Luke recorded in his book, he said, that these devoted women of Christ were also at the crucifixion 3 days prior, and they stayed all day and even watched them take Jesus down from the cross after he passed. These same three followers, these devoted women of Christ, were there the whole day. Let's take a look at verse 3 through 6. Verse 3 says, "His, the angel, countenance, his expression was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And the guard shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Can you imagine what was going on in these women's minds? Seeing an angel there at the tomb and having them come in to see that Jesus has been risen, that he wasn't there. It says that the angel's appearance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. It also says that the guards shook, like being paralyzed by fear at the sight of this angel. And it says that they became like dead men. Not a good day for them. Good day for the women. But not for these fellas. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. I know this. I know why you're here. He is not here, for he is risen. Look what he writes. As he said to you, he would rise from the dead. As he promised you, he's telling these women, as he promised, he would rise again on the third day. Just as he said. The angel said, come, see where the Lord lay. Come on, check it out. Come inside. Just before Jesus' crucifixion, he said to his followers, after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Matthew 26:32. This is why the angel said, as he said to you, he would. Just as he said, just as he promised you, he would. Jesus' resurrection confirms everything he said in the scriptures to be true. Everything that he said to be true. Jesus talked about this day in the scriptures. He said, after I am crucified, 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. And he did. Let's take a look at verses 7 and 8. The angel now talks some more to the women. The angel said to the women, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the word. It says that the women took off quickly. They trembled with fear, but they were full of joy. They were amazed, and they took off running to tell the disciples, Jesus is risen, just like he told us he would, just like he promised us he would. Can you imagine what was going on in these women's minds and their hearts? They're full. Have you ever been there? You're full of fear, you're amazed, but you're full of joy. You got all these emotions going on. You're like, I mean, can you imagine what these women were thinking on this amazing day? Let's take a look at verse 9 and 10. It says, and as they, the women, went to tell his disciples, Jesus' disciples, behold, Jesus met them. First encounter, right here with Jesus and these devoted women to Christ, saying, rejoice. So they came and held Jesus by the feet, and they worshiped him. Can you imagine? Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. It says the angel said, do not be afraid. He probably saw their face and like, whoa, what's going on? Wow, blown away. It's like if the Lord showed up right here and opened our eyes to the spiritual realm and we could see him. Or angels, we'd be like, wow. Verse 10 says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Go, tell my brethren. But Jesus' first words to them, rejoice. Jesus went to them and said, rejoice. So the woman came and they held Jesus by the feet and they worshiped him. Holding on to our Lord. Feet. Worshiping him. What an incredible day. The Bible tells us that these devoted women set off early in the morning to go to Jesus' tomb and to anoint him with spices, believing that he was dead. And what these women didn't know is how great this day was going to be. They had no idea. They just went and bought some spices to go anoint Jesus' body. They were thinking, as they were on their way to anoint Jesus' body and pay their respects, they had no idea what was in store for them. What a surprise. Jesus told these women, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there you will see me. More running. Notice this, right? These women, more running. Go, right? When Jesus commands you to go, you go, right? These women, I guarantee you, they could have ran the Boston Marathon that day. I guarantee it, right? They were so full of joy, and they must have had so much energy. I mean, they're running all over the place. The angel said, go, they went. Jesus said, go, they went. They took off running, full of joy and energy. Has the Lord ever told you to go somewhere? Or maybe go do something, and you took off running? Never look back. Like the day you came to Christ, and never look back. Amen? The day you came to Christ, and you never look back. And then the Lord put something on your heart. You didn't question it. You went. You ran. You ran. I want you to know this. If God put something on your heart to go somewhere or do something, he will go with you. He will never ask you to go if he's not going to go with you. Very important for you to know that. Let's take a look at our next verses, verses 11 through 15. The soldiers are bribed. Verse 11, it says, now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. See what's going on here, right? Verse 13, saying, tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. Verse 14, and if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. We'll cover up this lie and deception. Verse 15, then they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Once the Roman guard told the chief priest what had happened, hey, Jesus isn't in the tomb anymore. Just want you to know. And we don't know what happened. But we saw an angel, and we were like dead men. So I don't know what you want to come up with for a story, but what we saw was real. And the priest, the chief priest, gathered together with the guard and developed a plan of deception. They paid the Roman guard to come up with a lie, corruption within the priesthood. Can you imagine? Corruption, full corruption in the priesthood. These same priests were calling for Jesus' death 3 days before. Same priest. Crucify him, 3 days prior. Doesn't surprise you, right? That they come up with this lie. They did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, God in the flesh. They were lost in their false religion and blind to the truth. Listen carefully to what Jesus said to these same priests. In John 6:24, Jesus told these same men just prior to this, "Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Jesus is saying, and He said to them, if you do not believe that I am He, the Son of God, God in the flesh, you will die in your sins. This is what Jesus told the same priest that came up with this lie. Powerful verse. Repent and believe, as the scriptures say, to be saved. Let's go to our next verses, verses 16 and 18. Verses 16 and 18 says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Right, it says that there were 11 disciples that went to Galilee, just as the Lord had told them. Right? There was only 11 because Judas was no longer. Right? And it says, and when they saw Jesus, now they see Jesus. Now the women already saw Jesus. Now they see Jesus and they worship Him. They worship the Lord. And Jesus said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Scriptures tells us that God the Father raised Jesus, God the Son, from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. That's in Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. All authority has been given to the Son. The Father has given all the authority to the Son when He raised Him from the dead. All authority has been given to the Son. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. He's been given all authority to judge the living and the dead. Let's take a look at final verses, verses 19 and 20. I want you to really, really listen to these two verses. I want you to listen to the rest of this right here, these two verses. If you are a believer in Christ, which I hope you all are, here's a command from Jesus to you, right here in the scripture. Two commands right here. Listen carefully. Jesus said, go therefore. There's the first command right there. Go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here's the second command right here, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And little ones, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This is the Great Commission to all believers in Christ. Right? What did Jesus say, right, in the book of Mark? We read it this morning at a sunrise service, right? Jesus said just before He ascended, He told His disciples, He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go, right? When Jesus says go, we go, right? He didn't say, hey, when you get around to it, right? The Lord doesn't speak like us. Hey, when you get around that, can you do that for me? No, that's not how Jesus said. He says, go. Go share your faith. Go. Go share the gospel. Go. Two commands right here. And look at the second command. And when you go and you talk to them, teach them what I've taught you in the scriptures. Teach them what I taught you. Two commands. Go make disciples and go teach them. Right there to every believer in Christ. Right? You guys have heard me say this before. We didn't get saved to sit. Amen? Right? If the opportunity comes, step forward. Share your faith, right? I said before, I don't expect you guys to go down to Tilton Outlets and yell out to people, repent or perish. Me and Tony will do that. I'll follow his lead. Come on, Tony, you take the first one. I'll take the second. But you know, if the opportunity comes, step forward. Jesus saved you. And he wants you to be an ambassador for him. He wants you to be a testimony for him. I command you to do this as followers of mine. This is what Jesus is telling us. I command you. Go. Make disciples. Make disciples in my name. Tell others about me, the Lord says. Tell your family and friends about what great things I've done for you. God, from the very beginning, from the book of Genesis, all the way through the scriptures, always tells us, don't forget to tell your children about me. Don't forget to tell your grandchildren about me and what great things I've done for you. All those days you walked through the fire and I carried you. It wasn't you. It was me, says the Lord. I carried you through that fire. Go tell them how I saved you and I can save them. This is what the Lord's talking about. Go share the gospel with them, the good news that I can save anyone. Jesus said, whoever believes, that's anybody, I will save them. Go share my words with them. Go share your faith. Go share your faith with them. And I love this, how he ends it. Look at how Jesus ends this. He says, and when you go and you do all these things that I have commanded you, know this, I am with you always. See what our Lord says to us in the scripture? You know, in those days you're nervous, oh Lord, should I talk to this person? Is he the one you sent for me to talk to? Jesus said, yes. And guess what? I will be with you. I will give you the words, right? If you're going to meet with somebody, especially an atheist or someone agnostic or whatever that just isn't, they're tough, okay? You pray on it. Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak through me. You give me the words. I'll mess it up, Lord. I've done that. I will mess it right up. I do that every Sunday. I will not get in this pulpit without praying on it, asking the Lord, you got to lead me, Lord. Your Holy Spirit, I will blow this. I pray all week. Ask Michelle. I pray all week. Lord, you are going to have to work through me. Because I will mess this all up. And when you share your faith, you ask the Holy Spirit, even if it's 5 seconds before you're ready to share your faith, Lord, give me the words. Hey, have I told you about Jesus? Right? This is a command to every believer in Christ. If you are a true believer in Christ, you've got to step forward. And the opportunity comes. Again, we didn't get saved. Sit. Even if it's one soul you lead to Christ, there's a crown in heaven waiting for you. And when you go and you do these things that I've commanded you, I will be with you, even to the end of the age. That means all your life, I will be with you. Now, the Bible tells us, right, we know, that just before Jesus died on the cross, this past Good Friday. We call it Good Friday, right? The last three words that Jesus said, that John, the Apostle John, wrote in his book. He was at the bottom of the cross. He said the last three words that Jesus said is, "It is finished." And now we can add three words to that. He is risen. Amen? Those are our three words. He did those three. We're going to add these three to it as well. Again, before we close, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so extremely important. You need to understand this, that without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's no gospel. He doesn't rise from the dead. There's no gospel. And if there's no gospel, there's no salvation. That's how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ is. This is our victory in Christ. This is why Christians take victory in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the heart of the gospel, as I said. It's the heart of our faith. Everything is held together by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection proves the truthfulness of the Word of God. Everything Jesus said, He fulfilled. And He's still fulfilling. Jesus talked about this day in the Scriptures. He said, "After I die," He told His disciples, "3 days later, I will rise from the dead." You can count on it. And He did. Just as He said. Our victory in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for sending Your one and only begotten perfect Son to come save us, Lord, from our sin. We thank You for this, Lord. We thank You. We take great comfort in knowing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead just like He said He would, Lord, which gives us victory. Help us, Lord, walk in victory daily in Christ our Lord. We thank You, Lord, for this marvelous day. We thank You, Lord, for this victory that You have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.